we'll have enough time to do Rabbeinu Tam today. But at least the Balei HaTosfos, and this is just going to be very brief. So the Balei HaTosfos, well, we'll talk about what they did, but let me talk about who they were first. These are a series of expert explainers, if you will, of the Gemara and halachic authorities, starting in the late 11th century and continuing all the way into the 13th century. Their commentaries on Shas are characterized by, actually no, we'll talk about what they did first. I forgot that I had put this in my notes first. By first of all, identifying apparent conflicts between passages in different places in Shas and trying to resolve them. As part of that analysis, they get to the core ideas in a machlokas. Why do you paskin this way? Why do you paskin that way? What's that about? They address also major halachic issues faced by the communities in Ashkenaz in their day. So I brought you a piece here in source number 9 from Rabbi Dr. Aryeh Leibowitz, The Emergence and Development of Tosfos on the Talmud, in which
can you
he's...
explain what Tosfos
means? Additions, A-D-D-I-T-A. So we'll get to that in this source. Rashi's line-by-line explanations of the entire Talmudic corpus, well, entire, we don't have entire, but nonetheless, opens the book of the Talmud in a way that was previously unparalleled. However, his commentary was a local commentary. He did not seek to analyze each line of the Talmud in context of the entire Talmudic corpus. Rashi isn't interested in explaining to you why the Gemara in Ksuvo seems to contradict the Gemara somewhere else. Rashi's Talmud commentary focused on the local discussion. He chose explanations that presented the local passage with the most clarity, even if this required ignoring a relevant discussion in another tractate. This was not the case with the Tosfos. Working with an assumption that the entire Talmudic corpus was one unified text, an assumption that Rashi likely agreed with but didn't focus on when composing his commentary, the early Tosfos focused their work on more global corpus-wide analysis, meaning, if I see that the Gemara here says one thing and the Gemara elsewhere said something else, the assumption is not, well, these were written by different Tanaim and Amoraim and they just disagreed with each other. The assumption is, sometimes there are debates like that, but if that's not clear in the Gemara, that this is Rabbi so-and-so and this is Rabbi so-and-so and they have a different view, they were well aware. Remember, we've talked about the Savaroi. Like, there was an editing process on the Gemara. They were well aware. They knew this stuff cold, and they wouldn't have left it in as just an open-ended contradiction. Tosfos says it has to be resolvable. Yet their broader focus did not preclude their attention. And sometimes the answer is, yes, there's a debate. There's a sugya here that disagrees with the sugya there, and this is Rav so-and-so, and this is consistent with the view of Rav so-and-so, and here's how we'll paskin. Yet their broader focus did not preclude their attention to local issues. Before engaging in any dialectic analysis, dialectic, the idea that you have two ideas, one here, that are to be read as somehow complementing each other to give you a full picture of something, the Tosfos engaged in a close reading of the local passage, providing further elucidation of a Talmudic discussion. Indeed, the early Tosfos were likely seeking to complement and not replace the commentary of their ancestor Rashi. And it could be that for this intention, they received the name Tosfos, meaning additions. You've got Rashi's comments, and now you have added comments. That's the
idea. So early Tosfos and later Tosfos, the first ones kind of focused only on just expanding Rashi, what he meant, and then the later ones wanted to give you...
So I don't think that's what he means, no. He's just saying this is the style begins as a complement to it with further explanation of the immediate sugya plus... What's
contemporaries of Rashbam then? Is that what
yes, Rashbam is one of them.
He is one.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. Okay. So their perushim, their commentaries on the Gemara, are really their own compositions. This is important to recognize. Tosfos was not written with someone sitting with a Gemara in front of him and Rashi in the margin and saying, well, what can I fit in the margin on the outside? They were separate compositions that then the publishers of Shas fit into it, and the way they fit into it was selecting from different compilations of Tosfos.
There were many Tosfos.
There were many compilations by the Balei HaTosfos. Publishers.
Like current publishers?
No. Publishers historically who first did this.
Yeah. Jewish publishers.
Right. There's always this line that in yeshiva of did it make sense to put Tosfos on the daf? The Rush, many argue, would have been a better read on the daf, because the Rush gives you a much simpler read of how the Gemara translates to halacha, Tosfos, you can break your head on for hours and hours trying to understand one point there. It's a much more in-depth thing. It makes much more sense as a separate text. And the Rush, reading the Rush on the side of the page, would add a lot to our comprehension of the Gemara that we don't necessarily get by learning Tosfos. There were different Tosfos collections, and different collections were drawn on for different Mesechtos. So Tosfos on one Mesechta may say something that disagrees with Tosfos on another Mesechta, and it's not the end of the world. It's two different Rabbanim we're writing. There's a lot of scholarship on the Balei Tosfos, which we're not going to get to address. I do think, I included the link in number 9, it's worth reading that article. I gave you a reference to another article in number 11 by Dr. Ephraim Kannerfogel, who's a major expert on the Balei HaTosfos. And you see the article is titled From Germany to Northern France and Back Again, A Tale of Two Tosfist Centers, because the center does shift over time, as we're about to see. If you flip the page to number 12, some of the key Balei HaTosfos are Rashi's family. If you think of certain yeshivos where it's just like all in the family, I'm not going to start naming them, but you know who I'm talking about. So look at this. Look at number 12 of the Balei HaTosfos in France. Rabbeinu Meir ben Shmuel of Ramru. He marries Rashi's daughter Yocheved. Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Nasa, known as the Rivan. So he marries Rashi's daughter Miriam. He's the one who's credited with writing the parish that is called Rashi on Maseches Nazir. It's the Rivan. Rabbeinu Shmuel ben Meir, that's the Rashbam who we talked about. So he is Rabbeinu Meir's son. Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Meir, the Rivam, he is also the son of Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Yaakov, probably the most famous of the Balei HaTosfos, also known as Rabbeinu Tam, because Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. So he is also a son of Rabbeinu Meir. But here's important to note, there's a lot of time that passes. The Rashbam is born in the year 1080. Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Meir, the Rivam, is born in the year 1090. Rabbeinu Tam is born in the year 1100. That's at least the years that I've seen. That makes him 20 years younger than the Rashbam, who actually learns from. We'll talk about that when we get to Rabbeinu Tam. They're brothers. Rabbeinu Simcha of Vitri marries the daughter of Rabbeinu Meir. He's the compiler of Machzer Vitri. There's also a Rabbeinu Simcha of Speyer, who's one of the Balei HaTosfos from Germany, but he's later. And then there's the Ri. The Ri, who's another famous Balei HaTosfos, is a grandson of Rabbeinu Meir. Very often you present Tosfos like as Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri.
Yeah.
Truth of the matter is... So he has three daughters, at least three, maybe a fourth, and we don't know a whole lot about all of them. We have to keep in mind the Crusades are going on in the end of Rashi's life and beyond, and that disrupts a lot of this. We don't know what we don't have.
I've heard it said that maybe back then, or perhaps a few days, that there were only really four Ashkenazic families.
Right. Right. That's an argument made by the geneticists,
right,
that you can trace back the mitochondria and determine that, in fact, you're all tracing back to four women in Ashkenaz. Mm-hmm. There are those who debate that finding. It's a fascinating finding. Unfortunately, it speaks to the devastation we've suffered over the years. It wasn't that there were only four families.
No.
It's that there were four lines that survived.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It speaks to the truth of the Gemara and Yevamos that says that you should keep on producing because you don't know which one is going to succeed. And if they hadn't done that, like, that's it. So these are the French Balei HaTosfos, and they tend to be the earlier ones. But you also have the German school. So Rabbi Yitzchak ben Asher Halevi, in source number 13, the Riva, is a student of Rashi, but he lives in Speyer in the end of the 11th century, during the 11th century. Rabbi Elazar ben Nasa, known as the Ra'avan, is in Mainz. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yoel Halevi, also known as the Ra'avya. Rabbi Eliezer of Worms, who I think we actually mentioned when we were talking about the Colonimus family, because he recorded a lot of their lineage, if I remember correctly. Rabbeinu Simcha of Speyer is 13th century. You had Balei HaTosfos who were not in France and Germany. You had Balei HaTosfos in England, interestingly. But their impact is huge. They shape Ashkenazi practice, both with their commentaries to the Gemara and their takanos and their tshuvos, their responsa. And because their students end up being the mentors of the Rama, who of course puts together the Ashkenazi gloss to the Shulchan Aruch. Fascinatingly, they also become teachers of the Sephardi community. Because, first of all, the Ramban learns from some of the Balei HaTosfos. So Ramban being the giant of the Sephardi Mefarshim on Shas. And number two, because they are the mentors of the Rosh. And when the Rosh moves to Spain, he brings the Torah of the Balei HaTosfos with him. So the Balei HaTosfos are very, very important in shaping where everything goes in Ashkenaz and beyond. Clear?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do some Parsha.
Okay.